What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Health warnings as wildfire smoke continues to blanket some of America's biggest cities. And a leadership shakeup at GameStop. Plus, we'll go inside the thinking at Coinbase and Binance as U.S. regulators ratchet up their efforts to rein in the crypto industry.
So it is plausible that basically crypto trading could cease to be allowed in the U.S. And whoever wants to trade crypto will have to go to an exchange that it's outside.
It's Thursday, June 8th. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Millions of Americans will likely be monitoring air quality levels yet again today as a curtain of smoke from Canadian wildfires hangs over some of the country's most populated cities. New York City saw record high levels of air pollution yesterday that officials say led to an uptick in emergency room visits in the state. And officials from multiple states have now extended health advisories until at least midnight Thursday, with residents from Massachusetts to North Carolina being advised to limit outdoor activities and mask up. New York Governor Kathy Hochul was among those urging the public to stay inside until the situation improves.
You don't need to go out and take a walk. You don't need to push the baby in the stroller. This is not a safe time to do that. I want to reiterate that. We're expecting this to abate possibly over the weekend, but that does not guarantee that this won't come back. And that is the message.
Forecasters say that possible rain showers developing later Thursday and Friday in the Northeast and New England could help to reduce pollution, but air quality is expected to stay at unhealthy levels for several days. The smoke has also led some travelers to rethink trips as airports delay and cancel flights due to low visibility. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky visited Kherson today, the city in the path of floodwaters that were unleashed by the destruction of a major dam in Russian-occupied Ukraine earlier this week. According to a local Ukrainian military spokesman, the floodwaters have continued to rise in Kherson, increasing by nearly 10 inches from the day before. Zelensky said that more than 2,000 people had been rescued from the flooding, though he didn't have a figure for casualties. The flooding has altered the military calculus for both sides at a pivotal time in the war, on the brink of a Ukrainian offensive against Russian forces. Japan's economy has grown faster than expected in the first quarter, according to revised government data released today that showed the world's third largest economy after the U.S. and China growing 2.7% on an annualized basis. That is nearly a full percentage point higher than earlier projections, thanks to stronger spending by companies. Peter Landers is our Tokyo bureau chief.
Japan is emerging as a popular investment target for people like Warren Buffett, who came here in April and talked about how he's bullish on Japan and is already increasing some of his investments in Japanese trading companies. The stock market is at a 33-year high. The big sort of basis for skepticism about Japan is that the population is decreasing and growth has been, on the whole, slow for about three decades. And so if it turns out that Japan can grow at 1, 2, 3% steadily, and we need to see some more quarters to be sure of that, then that could really undergird the idea that it's a great place for U.S. businesses to invest.
Coming up, U.S. regulators are dialing up their efforts to regulate the crypto industry, filing suits this week against Coinbase and Binance. Our look at how the CEOs of both companies and the crypto industry as a whole are reacting after the break.
Growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites, or builds an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
The crypto industry is on the defensive after the Securities and Exchange Commission sued two of crypto's biggest players earlier this week, Coinbase and Binance. We're going to take a look at both of those SEC suits and the different ways that the companies are reacting, starting with the SEC's allegation that crypto exchange Coinbase listed tokens that the agency contends are subject to securities law. Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong sat down with the journal's financial editor, Charles Farrell, to discuss the situation.
This doesn't seem like one where there's a lot of dispute about the facts. You're trading cryptocurrencies on Coinbase. The question really is, are you breaking the law? And is what you are trading a security? What's your interpretation of the law?
Basically, we're in this environment of, you know, regulation by enforcement. I don't feel like there's a clear rule book. The only sort of high-level statements they've made is that everything other than Bitcoin is a security, which that's just not what it says in the law. And by the way, that would also kind of mean like the end of the crypto industry in the US if that was actually the, you know, what happened. And so we have to go to court to challenge that. We're proud to do it for the industry and for America.
But this has been something that has been hanging over the industry and Coinbase for a while. You in your S-1, when you filed to go public, put down as a risk, the SEC may decide that the stuff that we are trading is in fact a security, but you pushed ahead anyway and built a business and grew that business and added more tokens and added more assets. Tell us why you did that.
Well, there are certainly crypto securities out there. In fact, Coinbase has reviewed, you know, well over 1,000 different assets. 90% of them we've rejected. The 10% or less of assets that we've reviewed that we did decide to list, we feel that those are crypto commodities. And so, you know, they don't need to be registered and traded with under an SEC license.
So the question of what is a security, to zoom way out, you've got like baseball cards at one end. Mm-hmm. You've got Apple stock on the other end, right? Baseball cards, clearly not a security. We trade baseball cards. They have value, but nobody thinks that like a, you know, 1987 Topps Daryl Strawberry is a security. Mm-hmm. Apple stock, clearly a security. Big gap between those things. Mm-hmm. And the SEC is making arguments that a bunch of things that you trade on Coinbase are more over here, closer to Apple. How do you think about that distinction?
There is this thing called the Howey test, right, which is the definition of a security. And it kind of says, you know, is there an investment of money in a common enterprise with an expectation of profit based on the effort of others? So it has those kind of four prongs. The important thing to know is that it all, you know, all four of those things have to be true, right? So there's various ways that, you know, you could imagine a crypto asset would not be a security, right? If it's sufficiently decentralized, there's no common enterprise, right? If there's some specific utility around it, it's not just for the purpose of, you know, the value of going up, right? And so what we need in the United States at this point is regulatory clarity.
Well, the SEC's goal is to stop you from breaking the law, in their view. It's not, I don't think they think that there's a lack of clarity in the industry. I think they think that you're breaking the law.
Well, that may be what they say, but I can assure you there's a huge lack of clarity. But we feel strongly all of the ones that we listed there, since we took a pretty conservative approach, they are commodities.
So that is the situation at Coinbase. And for more on how Binance is dealing with its own lawsuit this week, I'm joined by Journal European Finance reporter Patricia Kausman. All right, Patricia, we heard there from the CEO of Coinbase how that company is approaching its decisions in light of this pressure from the SEC. How are Binance and its CEO, Changpeng Zhao, who's known as CZ, handling things?
Yeah, so Binance is a case that's a bit more complicated than Coinbase in the sense that they are being accused by the SEC of a bit more than just listing securities without being registered. Binance, the CEO, founder, basically been accused also of commingling funds. Binance has a U.S. arm that for a long time Binance claimed was completely separate from the main Binance exchange, which trades globally. They claimed that there was a division. And what the SEC said in the lawsuit is that, in fact, they found out there's no division whatsoever. And the funds between customer money that is in Binance US was actually moving to places that are sort of obscure companies that CZ controls. Now, CZ and Binance, they completely deny this commingling or that they've done anything wrong. And I think just like Coinbase, they will claim the crypto tokens that are being traded in exchange are in fact not securities. Now, Caitlin Ostrov, my colleague, and I, we wrote a story about CZ and this whole issue. And one of the things that we found, which is mentioned in the lawsuit, is that in fact, CZ and Binance executives knew quite well that some of the tokens being traded could be considered securities by the SEC. And the SEC claims they disregarded that and just went anyway because it was the profitable thing to do.
Another difference between the companies and their chief executives, Patricia, is that the head of Binance, CZ, is being personally sued in addition to his company being sued. How is he reacting to that?
He basically has said a lot of things on Twitter that suggest that obviously he denies these things and then he thinks the SEC is just being harsh and coming to get crypto because the SEC doesn't want crypto trading to happen in the U.S. So the claims that the SEC just went way above and beyond what it was supposed to do. Now, let's also remember Binance, on the contrary of Coinbase, which is 100% based in the U.S., Binance is an international exchange, and the SEC does not have regulatory oversight over the international exchange. So for Binance, it could be that they cut off the U.S. arm, kind of cease to do business in the U.S., but continue a very profitable business internationally. And as long as they have the permission to do it or are in places they are not regulated outside the U.S., they can just keep trading and et cetera for as long as they want.
Finally, Patricia, what does it mean for the broader crypto industry that both of these power players are under suit by the SEC? And how is the industry responding to the tact that these CEOs are taking here?
I think you can see that there is a problem here for the industry in the U.S. for sure. So it is plausible that basically crypto trading could cease to be allowed in the U.S. and whoever wants to trade crypto will have to go to an exchange that it's outside. In the meantime, that said, the U.S. is not the only country in the world. So you have a bunch of other countries where you will be able to trade crypto. And there will be countries that probably try to take advantage of this. You have Asia, which is a place that is extremely embracing at some points of crypto trading. And you can see that shifting even further to Asia and some countries in Europe. So it's not the end. It wouldn't be the end of crypto, but it could be the end of crypto trading in the U.S. if these lawsuits are successful.
That was Wall Street Journal finance reporter Patricia Kausman. Patricia, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
In other news moving the world today, shares of GameStop plunged 19% in after-hours trading after the company said it terminated its chief executive, Matt Furlong, and elevated Ryan Cohen to executive chairman. It is the latest shakeup for the video game retailer, which has been struggling to find new ways to boost profits. The company didn't cite a reason for the CEO's termination. Federal prosecutors have told former President Donald Trump's legal team that he is the target of their investigation into how he handled classified documents at his Mar-a-Lago resort. That's according to people familiar with the matter. This marks the clearest indication yet that Trump could face criminal charges in the matter. Trump has denied wrongdoing and said he's the target of a witch hunt. And in Washington, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has canceled the rest of the votes planned for this week after failing to resolve a standoff with a group of Republican insurgents. The dissenting lawmakers say that McCarthy violated a deal that they made in January that cleared the path for him to win his job. The insurgents are upset about how the recent debt ceiling battle was resolved, saying they were left out of the key decisions and faced threats for opposing the bipartisan legislation, which they said did too little to cut government spending. The move effectively paralyzes the chamber and ultimately forced McCarthy to throw in the towel and try to regroup. And finally, one of the greatest soccer players of all time, Lionel Messi, is heading to South Florida. after runs at two of the world's premier clubs, Barcelona and France's PSG, the Argentinian superstar has announced his plans to play for Inter Miami, a three-year-old team in America's Major League Soccer. While final terms are still being worked out, Journal sports reporter Joshua Robinson says that the reported details about how Messi might be paid are a sign of the growing competition for talent by leagues around the world, including recently from Saudi Arabia.
Major League Soccer was never going to be able to compete with some of the money on offer in Saudi Arabia, where they're talking about salaries between $100 and $200 million a year. So MLS had to get creative. And here, they enlisted the two biggest sponsors of the league. One is Apple, the league's exclusive broadcasting partner, and they run something called MLS Season Pass, which is a package that people subscribe to on Apple TV Plus. So Messi, under this agreement, should be getting a percentage of all those new subscriptions, which is unprecedented in MLS. The other major sponsor is Adidas, the company that signed Messi to a lifetime deal in 2017. They also supply the entire league with jerseys and balls, and it's not uncommon for a company like Adidas to stump up cash to help pay for the deal or to sign over a certain percentage of all jersey sales. But without those two participating, there would not be a possible structure for this deal to work.
Apple declined to comment, and Adidas didn't immediately respond to a request for details of the deal. Messi could first suit up for Inter Miami as soon as July 21st. And that's What's News for Thursday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.